Luke Bronin. And Mr. Mayor, good morning. Thank you for coming.
Always really. Great to see you.
Well, it's great to have you. Great to have you here. I just been talking about the incredible situation that we have in the entire state as far as drugs and everything else is going. And I don't know how you do it. I mean, seriously, this is really something.
Look, the opioid epidemic is hitting every single state in the country and every single community in our state. And, you know, we feel it hard here in Hartford, but again, every city and every town feels it. And, you know, I think we have to step up our commitment to treatment to a whole different level right now.
Now, I was talking about police officers, and do we have enough of them? I mean, What would you like?
In Hartford, we don't have enough, so we've been hiring aggressively. You know, when I took office, the city really hadn't done much hiring for about 5 years, and it had hired a whole bunch of officers in the late 1990s. So you had a lot of officers who were reaching their retirement age, and not enough hiring had been done to prepare for that attrition. So we've brought in a number of classes. We got a class in now. We got a class starting in November, and we've got another class scheduled to start early in the winter. So we've been moving aggressively, and we've been moving at a fast pace since I took office. For the most part, our hiring has simply allowed us to keep our heads above water rather than really rebuild the force. And my hope is that this year becomes the turning point where we can begin not just replacing those we lose, but actually rebuilding. In terms of the number we need, you know, 8 years ago, we had close to 500 officers.
I know. I was going to say you had 500.
That's right. Today, we have under 400. Now, what the right number is a subject for debate. You know, I think there's no question we need more than we have right now. Whether we can ever sustain 500 officers again is another question. But there's no question we need more than we've got. And that's why we're hiring very aggressively. And we'll soon be putting out a new recruitment opportunity. And, you know, again, we've been doing this multiple classes a year since I took office. And we're going to continue that pace for as long as we have to.
You know, talking with the mayor of Hartford, Luke Bronin, I didn't know that he was going to definitely be here. He has time here to come in and talk with me, and he came in this morning, and I'm glad that you did, because this is what I've been talking about, too. Everywhere that I go, I mean, this is the thing. And you say, well, how do you win? How can you win?
Well, you know, I think what's really important is that I think and hope that there's a growing recognition that you can't just respond to the opioid epidemic with law enforcement, right? There's obviously a law enforcement component of it, and it puts an enormous burden on all of our first responders, our police, our firefighters who save hundreds of lives by administering Narcan, all of our first responders. But if we're really going to get ahead of this, we can't just be responding and reacting. We've got to be more focused on treatment. You know, I know there's a subject that you and I have disagreed on, which is the legalization of marijuana. You know, I personally think that it's just a matter of time before all the states are getting there. What I really strongly believe is that we ought to legalize recreational marijuana, but we ought to dedicate an enormous share of whatever revenue comes from that to opioid treatment. Because right now, there's no dedicated source of funding that allows us to deal with this epidemic in a serious way.
How do they get it, though? I mean, it just seems everybody, you turn around, it can be a police officer, it can be this.
You mean how do they get hooked?
Yeah.
Well, look, you know, there's so many stories out there about people getting hooked from getting prescribed opioids that are incredibly powerful, incredibly addictive, were marketed aggressively by pharmaceutical companies. And so, you know, this isn't an epidemic that's hitting people who chose to destroy their lives. This is people who, you know, they may have had an accident. You know, maybe they're a veteran and they got wounded. They're a law enforcement officer and they got hurt. They, you know, they're a high school athlete and they had an injury. You know, they're aging and, you know, had a back problem. There's so many cases of people who just were prescribed these opioids by their doctors with doctors and everybody else had no appreciation for just how powerful and addictive these things were. And then once that is cut off and they are physically addicted, they look at other sources. And, you know, heroin and now synthetic opioids like fentanyl are in large supply and they're cheap, and that's the makings of this epidemic. But we've got to deal with this in a serious way as a public health crisis, and that's going to take a different level of commitment of resources from the federal government down.
You know, when you take a look, when you take a look at New Haven, I know you're not the mayor down there. However, but just the story, and it's like, and I have calls here that people can do anything they want because they're not punished. This is what I hear all the time.
Yeah,
So
I take a different lesson from that New Haven incident. You know, if you paid attention to that New Haven incident, one of the things you saw was that there were people who were overdosing, getting treated, getting released, and going right back to the green. But not all. But then going right back to the green and buying the same stuff and using it. And I think what that, I hope, tells people is that these are not rational decisions that are being made. These are people who are addicted. They have a disease. They cannot control that compulsion to seek that drug. If somebody is knowingly, intentionally going to take the same drug that they just almost died from, they're not doing it because they're making a rational calculation. And if that's the case, law enforcement and deterrent and jail time, that's not going to stop it. The only thing that's going to stop it is treating it like what it is, which is a disease.
And will they be able to lick that disease, though?
Well, understand that every study that's been done, all the experience shows that it takes a lot of time. Now, the other thing is that there's an increasing recognition that medically assisted treatment can help. And we probably ought to be relying much more on medication-assisted treatment than we are right now. And I think that, again, this takes a mindset shift. It also takes a resource shift. And I hope that we as a state are willing to do things like, you know, if we legalize recreational marijuana, commit that revenue source in a real way to treating addiction and opioid epidemic. And I hope that at the federal level, the Trump administration, you know, makes good on their commitment to take this epidemic seriously, because it's hitting communities of all kinds, rural and urban, cities, suburbs, all across the country.
And, you know, when you stop to think about it, and I think this is what a lot of the people are probably thinking about, how do they get it, and how do they continue? Yeah, they lock them up for a little while, then they're right back at it. This is the attitude that is out there from regular folks, and that's what I'm concerned about.
Well, that's why I think we have to all talk about the reality of this, that it is a disease. And at this point, I think almost everybody either has somebody in their family who suffered from this or knows somebody whose loved one has suffered from this. And I hope that that starts to change the way people think about it, because we're not going to defeat this epidemic if we keep thinking about it in the same old way, as, you know, a criminal action that's the fault and a rational decision by the people involved. That's not what's happening. You have millions of people who've been hooked by these incredibly powerful drugs that were aggressively marketed, irresponsibly prescribed, and now we have an epidemic that we've got to respond to. And these are people's mothers, sons, daughters, brothers, sisters, they're veterans, they're cops, they're school teachers, they're athletes, they're everyday folks. And treating that as a criminal justice problem is a huge mistake. We've got to change our mindset about this, and we've also got to devote the resources that have to be devoted to it. And I feel strongly about how we could do that here in Connecticut. But again, you know, from the federal level on down, this needs to be treated as a national crisis.
You know, and this morning, I didn't know that you were going to come in this morning. I know you were scheduled, but I also knew that you had a lot of stuff that you had to do, but you were kind enough to come in. But again, it was just, and I quoted you. I quoted you on the police officer, and it just people say, how can it happen? Well, it does happen. So it's something that we've got to, number one, I think, attack. I think we have to also make sure that some of these folks can make it. I mean, that's all part of the American way. But again, it's going to be a while. It's not going to be easy.
That's right. And, you know, and you, as you said, people who commit to treatment and want to turn their lives around, often they relapse, because this addiction is powerful. But we've got to treat it like what it is, which is a disease.
Now, as you look at the city now, is this the big thing? This is really it?
No, look, this is one of many, many, many challenges that cities all across the country are facing. But there's no question, again, that the scale of the opioid epidemic puts a huge burden on municipalities of all sizes and all kinds. That's why a lot of cities and towns around the state and around the country are joining a litigation against the pharmaceutical companies, because it's put a huge burden in terms of, you know, again, first responders, hundreds of lives saved by our firefighters. But beyond that, the costs to a healthcare system, the costs of, you know, paying for these for treatment, the cost of paying for opioids themselves when they're inappropriately prescribed. All of those things, not to mention just the explosion all around the country of the consequences, like, you know, aggressive panhandling, homelessness, all those things that come with an epidemic of addiction, put a huge burden on municipalities. So we're joining that lawsuit, there are lots of challenges that cities all across the country face. And as you and I have talked many times, you know, what we're trying to do here is to focus on those challenges, to fight them head on, but at the same time to really focus on those things that get our city growing again. And as you and I have talked about many times, there's a lot of good stuff going on in that arena, and it's exciting to see.
Absolutely. I see it all the time. And I talk about it all the time. And I, you know, some people come after me because I do, but I really believe, I truly believe, that the city is coming back. I believe it because I see it, and I'm out there.
Yeah.
But these are the things that I think a lot of people are wondering, can we really get control and take care of this as well? I think that's one of the questions.
Yeah, I mean, look, just one last thing on the opioid epidemic, and hopefully this doesn't even need to be said, but it's not a city versus suburb or small town issue. You know, the folks who are using, folks who are buying in Hartford, more often than not are coming from suburbs or coming from small towns. This is an epidemic that has hit every single community and every single kind of community very hard, and we're all in that together. So we're going to continue to work on all fronts, but I appreciate the chance to spread the word about how I think we need to think about this differently as a state and as a nation, because it's critically important.
Now, could this, though, because of the intensity of it, could this bring us together as a country to work together? Or are we still going to be individuals? Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
I do understand what you're trying to say. I hope it does. You know, Brad, I don't know if you were moved as I was moved yesterday, you know, on the anniversary of 9/11.
Oh.
It's impossible not to think back to that time of unity, right? In response
right
to that
same
attack,
chair.
In response to that terrorist attack and that tragedy, we came together with an incredible spirit of unity. And, you know, every anniversary, I think we all think back to that. And right now, I think more than ever, we mourn the loss of that sense of unity and spirit. And, you know, I do hope that we can recapture that, not just in the face of, large-scale, immediate tragedies like that terrorist attack, but also the challenges that we face as a nation even now. And if we can recapture that, then I think our future is much brighter.
Well, I know you're busy. I know you got to move along, and I appreciate you coming in when you can. And it's something that we, I think, together have got to do.
Well, I agree, and I appreciate it. And one last thing, you're always asking me about, you know, what kind of economic development stuff we're doing in the North End. I don't know if you saw, but just this past weekend, we broke ground on the Swift Factory.
I saw it.
Which used to be a major employment center in the North End. It was the gold leaf factory that provided gold leaf for buildings all across the country. It's now being rehabilitated, renovated, and it's going to be a job center again. And, you know, maybe next time we could talk about that.
Absolutely. And thank you for coming in today. Appreciate it.
Always good to see you. Thanks, Brad.
Okay.